Hello, magic seekers, and welcome to It Turns Out She's a Witch.
We're your hosts, Laura and Shannon,
and welcome to our podcast coven.
Turns Out She's a Witch podcast would like to begin today by acknowledging the Dharkin Young people, traditional custodians of the land on which we live and record this podcast. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging, and we extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
Welcome back to our dear podcast coven for another episode of It Turns Out She's a Witch. We are joined today by a special guest who has a deep love of ritual. She is a master space holder and leader of embodied rituals who helps witchy alternative creative women to navigate their spiritual journeys so they can live heart-open, soul-led lives. Her expertise primarily caters to women at the beginning of their journey or who feel like they haven't yet found what they're looking for. She understands the challenges they face and offers trauma-informed, creatively orientated guidance that allows them to become self-sourced. Over 7 years of personal inquiry and magic making, she has ventured around the world completing 4 different certifications spanning ancient wisdoms and modern science in trauma and attachment-informed coaching, sex, love and relationship coaching, experiential life coaching and creative orientation. An innate skill for drawing the polarities of these different yet deeply connected worlds together in gentle and deep transformative experiences. When she's not deep into guiding others in sacred ritual, she can be found indulging her herbal tea fetish and discovering new herbs to brew and plants to journey with. A very warm welcome to the podcast, the ritual woman, Alyssa.
Thank you so much. That's so juicy. It's so welcoming.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you here. And you sound like just our kind of person, especially all the herbal tea and the herb part as well.
Mm-hmm. Always got a cup of tea on the go.
Love that.
Sometimes, hate to show off, but sometimes I even have 2 cups of tea at various levels of warmth around the house because I've forgotten where one is. I know.
It's a thing. It's a thing.
It's a thing.
So good to now, see you.
Oh, it is. Absolutely. Now, a question I always ask our guests, what does the word witch mean to you?
I feel like for me, the word witch conjures up just an empowered person. They're just completely in their knowing and they're living through that knowing and expressing themselves in whatever way that shows up for them.
Mm.
Deeply connected.
Mm. I love how straight to the point and simple that is as well, because that's all it needs to be, doesn't it?
Yeah. Complicated.
Yeah. We're very good at putting layers on things and different attachments to it, which is great, you know, each to their own, but it comes down to that sort of core element, doesn't it?
Mm, yeah. And I do have a habit of just stripping things right back as well. So right to the heart of things, no fluff here.
That's it. And we love that too. And, you know, it's practical and it's meaningful and it's great, and it is a constant practice as well because, you know, mm-hmm. we're all different people every day of the week and every minute of every day sometimes, depending on what's coming at us. So,
exactly.
You've
absolutely got to with that.
Yeah. We've got a north point to return to. At least that's it. Cut everything away sometimes. Well, I'd like to get you a little get to know you a little bit more, and I'd love to know what little Alyssa was like, and have you always had an inclination to hold space for others?
Very interesting question, because I must admit I have a natural inclination to be a lot more solitary, very solitary in my own practice, especially when I'm dysfunctional. I do like to separate myself because that just proves my own dysfunction, that I don't belong anywhere, which is a wonderful thing for adult Alyssa to be aware of. But, yeah, as a child, I did love to do those things that were sort of a little bit more solitary. Holding space has been something that has come to be more familiar and definitely a part of myself that is much needed as an adult. Little Alyssa, she was definitely at that age interested in magic and witchcraft, and, you know, wanted to be a witch when I grew up, and so that was there. And I lost touch with that part of myself along the way. So it's nice to come full circle and reconnect with that part of myself in a very functional way as an adult now.
So would you say, like, you're a true introvert who's learnt to extrovert sometimes?
So how I really feel about the whole introvert, extrovert thing.
Say more.
Yeah. I just don't feel like it's a framework. I feel like we're all of the things. I personally really love dichotomies and scale. And I really do feel like we all have the ability to embody every aspect. And as we go through life, these things kind of shift and change and move, and we're in constant cycles and cycles of, you know, death and rebirth and transformation. And, yeah, so to label sort of, I guess for me, especially in the context of being a solitary person who also values community and connection, like, I understand now as an adult how important it is to be connected to a community, be connected to other people. And even if I might not feel like I want to engage all of the time, I think for me, especially as a woman in my cyclical body, there's times of my cycle that it is true for me to withdraw, and there's times for me where it's true to come out. So, yes, I'm an extroverted introvert and an introverted extrovert, depending on where I am in my cycle.
So well discussed. I love that, and I love the conversation around it that it brings, because we're so almost at ease to label things and almost pathologize things to, I don't know, I don't know if it brings up a false sense of security or some level of understanding or a baseline of understanding as to where you're at, because I love the, as you just said, an introverted extrovert or an extroverted introvert, because you've got some sort of level of context to understand things in. But really, as soon as you label something, you're sort of defining it to be just this one thing rather than allowing a constant evolution or flow or even sort of acknowledgement of where you're at. So I loved hearing you be able to sort of describe your experience with it as you've, you know, grown some age and wisdom and life experience by the sounds.
Yeah, I feel like too we can tend to form such a strong identity to different labels.
Yeah.
And once we have that attachment to a label, it makes it harder for us to know ourselves as something different.
Very true.
And when other people are labeling us as things, whether it feels true to us or not, it then makes it harder for that person to see us as something different.
So
I do find the whole conversation around identity and labels an interesting one, because it does help to give a reference point. to something at the risk of also giving it an identity.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then you get into the juicy conversation about mindset and is it fixed or is it a growth mindset and how open are you to change your mind about things or, you know, how fixed are you and sort of resistant to that? So it's so cool. Could be here all day. Yeah. But then all the questions are prepped. It's not very witchy.
Well, it is. I think it is because That's true. Especially as being a witch, you do learn how important it is to honor the cycles within yourself, as you touched on about how, you know, depending on your cycle and where you're at. And I've come to know that within myself as well, especially these last, you know, probably 5-6 years in particular, is, yeah, sometimes I do want to go into my cave and I don't want to speak to anyone and I just want to totally hibernate. But I guess a lot of people that know me would say that I'm outgoing and whatever, but I have those times where I'm like, no, I don't want to people today. And then other times, like ovulation, I'm like, yep, I can do all the things. I can, you know, go out to dinner and I'm going to have a great conversation and, you know, yeah. And I've actually started to do all my bookings with my studio around my cycle because I know that I can hold space better around ovulation. Mm-hmm. And then I actually create my own pieces because I'm a potter. When I'm in that bleeding phase and when I want to retreat, because I'm happy to just be in my little space by myself and not speak to anyone and just create. So it's learning to work with that flow and not rail against it, I guess.
Yeah, and I absolutely resonate with that. And I feel it's so important when we do know ourselves through our cycle, the magic of that, and it can support us in our relationships and in our working life as well. I also have a what I call a muggle job at the moment where I'm working a FIFO gig in the mines. So I'm away for a little bit of time. And there's some weeks where I'm like, right, let's get done, let's get in, get all that work done really hard. And there's other months I'm like, I'm just going to go do my own thing. Don't need friends today. Just gonna go off by myself. And other different rituals that I use that honor myself, but also let people know, like when I am just prior, because I kind of feel like I've got a bit of a lag time with my cycle. When I'm going into my bleed, I paint my nails red. And that's a time for me to connect with myself and honor where I'm at in that cycle. And it's also an outward sign to the people that I engage with that, okay, I'm going to probably want a little bit more quiet time. Don't push me. I'll get my work done, but in my time in a way that flows with me. So I think it's really important for me to bring rituals into my life that way that can really support myself and my cycles.
Beautiful. I love that, the painting the nails red. That's a great idea. I'm going to steal it.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Everybody's welcome to it. That's a great one.
That is. Absolutely. Yeah.
Consider it awesome.
Now, Alyssa, how important is ceremony and ritual within your own life?
Yeah, just based on that little bit that we've just shared just then, it's really important. And for me, rituals have become anchors. They're ways for me to anchor back into myself, back into my body, back into my emotions, connecting me with my intuition. They're all little ways for me to remember to come back to myself. And from that space, I am sovereign. I've got self-agency. I can connect through that and intuitively be guided through my day and my choices. So, yeah, really important to me.
Love that. And this is a subject that Shannon and I are very passionate about. Love to chat with you about mystical moments and tapping into the power of ritual within their everyday. And do you have suggestions for our listeners?
Yeah, for me, any activity can be created into a ritual, whether you're doing something by yourself or you're doing something with other people. The way to make anything a ritual is really just to bring presence and intention to the energy that you want from, like, the end result that you want from the ritual, the activity that you're doing. So for me, even going through the process of making a cup of tea, it sounds like it's this sort of 3-hour kind of process and long ritual, but really it's just, I'm just making a cup of tea, but I'm just doing it with some reverence and some intention. So what is the intention for this cup of tea? And infusing it with that. I'll often make cups of tea before I'm doing some work or some writing or going into a session or a ritual online or something like that. So the tea helps to create that container.
Mm.
Yeah, things like that.
Mm. It's so simple but can be so powerful throughout our day.
Gosh, yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes when people think of rituals, they think I need to have all these special ingredients and all these ritual tools and go out and buy this and buy that. I've got to wait for the moon or the stars or the planets to be aligned in a certain way. Yes, that is also true. And it's also true that anything can become a ritual and you can connect through that way, like really quite easily and simply and quickly. It doesn't have to add a lot of time to a day.
Yeah, right. There's a place for everything and it's really empowering to realise that you have everything that you need within you, and it's that intention that, you know, that power within you that will be the key ingredient for what you need to do.
Absolutely.
Now let's dive into the magic of intentions. And why do you believe it's the most powerful tool we have?
For me, intention, when you can really nail what it is, the end result of what you're trying to achieve, and you can feel the emotion of that end result, that, again, it's just another thread, another anchor that anchors you in into the ritual, into what you're creating. So if you can be really clear on the intention and what it is that you want to create, everything else can drop away. So that intention actually creates creative tension in tension, and all you have to do is just be and listen to what bubbles up and do whatever is obvious to do. But you don't actually have to do anything. You don't have to make anything happen. Mm. Once you can anchor into an intention, you're just pulled through to the end result of that which you want to create.
I love that. More of that, please. Less of the pushing shit up a hill.
Trying to figure out how, and I think that's the beauty of an intention. We don't need to know how. You don't need to know how something is going to end up happening. You just need to know that that's what you want.
And I think that's a big thing that everyone gets stuck on with manifesting and setting intentions is the how. Like the how is that going to happen? How? So it's letting go of that, isn't it?
Yeah, and what happens with our brain when we're trying to figure out how for something that we haven't done yet, our brain just explodes. It doesn't have reference points. It can't draw up memories. It's like got to try and put pieces together. But when you can release the need to know how and just do the next obvious thing that bubbles up for you, then everything is so much more effortless.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when magic really happens too, because the things that we didn't think were possible are all of a sudden possible.
Very true. I love that.
Because we didn't think. You don't need to think.
Didn't get your own way.
So cool. I love it. I just sort of want to can it and then open it up again when I feel stuck. So I could, oh, that's right. Okay. Remember. Remember that. Remember that chat.
Yeah.
That's the gold. All right, this is a good one too. I'm really keen. Can we talk about the paradox of self-awareness and navigating the challenges of knowing ourselves?
Where to begin?
It's huge.
Something that, yeah, let's try to make something a little simple. For me, we don't know what we don't know. And then when we know it, we can't unknow it. So when we start down this path of becoming, of coming home to ourselves and learning about ourselves, there are going to be things that we've been blind to up until that point. And once you start to see your own dysfunctional behaviors and your own dysfunctional patterns, it's really icky and awkward because you can't unknow those things about you, about yourself. And we can really start to get in these spaces in our heads and these wars of beating ourselves up for being such terrible people because we've treated others in a way that we did when we were much younger. So there's this thing that sort of happens where you can either go down that hole of beating yourself up about being such a bad person, or you can acknowledge that, yes, that was a part of yourself, but you're also behaving in those ways because you were trying to get an unmet need met. And you're just doing it in a really messy, unskillful way. Now that we know these things about ourselves, we can begin to make better choices, but we're also not going to get it right all of the time either. So it's this real starting to feel like you're a kid again or like a clumsy teenager trying to find their way in the world because all of a sudden you're wanting and being called to move and behave in a different way, to become the version of yourself that you already thought you were. And it can get a bit sort of like head messed up and really put people in these sort of tailspins that, unless you're able to stay focused on, again, that intention and the end result of the transformation and the who you want to be, we can end up in these sort of downward spirals.
Yeah, pretty easily done. That's why all different types of therapies, whatever is, you know, you're called to, is so useful, so you can have some sort of guide or some sort of partner or some sort of witness, observer, you know, insert label here.
Yeah.
So support, you can
system.
Be not alone through this. It truly can be such a difficult path, isn't it? And having that self-compassion, which isn't always a natural fit for people, in order to move past that, these old patterns that we tend to be in a constant loop of until we know different, and then learning a new way forward. I personally believe it's so important to have a trusted person, paid or unpaid, whoever that, you know, however that presents itself, to really, you know, be that support and help. We're not in this life alone, you know.
Absolutely.
Love that.
Now, Alyssa, do you have any advice on navigating transformation in relationships, and how can we hold space for ourselves and others?
Yeah, I feel like this is another one of those sort of little topics that we don't realize that this is going to be, I guess, a side effect of our own growth, is that when we do grow, we do change. Mm. And when we change, sometimes the people around us are not going to like that, because their reality is based on us being who we were. So sometimes relationships can start to, you know, have a little bit of friction. And I think the most important thing to remember, especially if you're the one who is consciously wanting change for yourself, is to first have the compassion for yourself and your own journey and your own growth, and let it be okay that you're not going to get it right all the time, and that you're learning to be in a different version of yourself, and to have compassion for the other people in your life as well, and that they might also be unskillfully trying to get unmet needs met. Mm-hmm. And if you can just show the compassion and little things like, oh, that must be really hard for you, just acknowledging that their heart is also yearning to be seen, just helps to navigate through what can be potentially quite a scary thing, especially for our own wounded little children inside of us all, who are worried about, you know, people abandoning us and our needs not being met and different things like that. So, yeah, just having the awareness, I think, is a great place to start for knowing that you're on a journey of change. Just being aware that as you change, the people around you are not used to this new version of you, and it might take them a little while to catch up.
Mm. Such a good reminder too, because I found often reflecting on my own sort of growth and work, I was very focused on myself, and I didn't naturally stop to think about what that meant for everybody else, for my husband and my family and everything. I was so self-centered, and it really took that, oh, hang on a sec, that's right. There's other people in my life that I'm, you know, there's an impact there, isn't there? So
yeah, and we're all the center of our own universe.
Mm-hmm.
So to bring attention to that, that, you know, like you've just sort of pointed out, what, I'm not the center of your world? When did that happen?
Why not?
So to actually recognize that, and, you know, if possible, bring some humor to it as well, because it does, you know, break energy and tension. But yeah, to recognize that we're all inherently selfish beings, and we only sort of have that reference point of what's happening in our world. And sometimes it's nice to just have somebody else see you in your perspective and at your reference point, and to have that witnessed and acknowledged. So, yeah, to offer that to the other people in your life as you're going on your journeys and changes and transformations, which sometimes are very messy. Mm.
Yeah. But it's part of the deal, right? Or it should be.
It is.
Part of that messy deal.
I think it's, is it me? No, it's you, Laura.
Is it?
Yep.
Sorry. Yes, it is. I just got well involved with that, and I was like, hey, it's over to you. It is me. I want to talk about something on your website called the Ritual Type Quiz. Can you tell us more about this?
Yeah, I love a quiz. I really do. As much like we spoke about the beginning of the episode around like labels and identity and things like that, it's like one of these paradoxy kind of places as well. I do love being identified. I love being seen. Doing quizzes, sometimes you can feel really seen by your quiz result.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a fun thing to play with. And, yeah, the quiz is really just to help you identify what kinds of rituals might be sort of the most natural feeling, the most at home, the most familiar kind of ritual, and they're just really good places to start creating your ritual toolkit from, your practice in, because they already feel easier to connect to. So yeah, I've sort of created like a few different types of rituals all around coming into grounding and presence, but doing it in different ways that might support different people to connect with that concept. So yeah, it's a fun little quiz. Go and have a little play, see what you come out as.
It does sound fun. Just give our wonderful listeners who hopefully love a quiz too a quick reminder of where they can find that. Give us the name of the website and I will link it into the show notes at the end as well.
Yeah, the website is theritualwoman.au.
Perfect.
And, yeah, just / ritual quiz for access to the quiz, which is on the homepage anyway.
Nice.
And, yeah, and have some fun.
It sounds really fun. I love it.
It does. And it's a great place for people that might be, as you know, you do work with a lot of people that are just starting out and they might be a bit scared of the word ritual and what it all entails. Mm-hmm. Because I know, you know, some people that I know that have spoken to me about coming to my circles and things like that, and they've never done anything like that before. You can just tell there's this fear there, like, oh my God, like, what are we about to do? And like, do we have to dance around naked? And is there like singing and stuff? So, like, I think it just, yeah, it's beautiful that you have this resource and hopefully they can ease into it and realize that it's not scary, but it's so nourishing doing ritual.
And in the privacy of their own home behind a locked door if they wish.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just when the true you emerges.
Isn't it? Now, is there a particular quote that resonates with you deeply and would you mind reading it to our listeners?
I sat with this for a little while and two sort of came to me. The first is one that was on a blackboard when I was in legal studies in like year 10, probably like 16 or so. It's just this beautiful quote. I don't know who it was by, but the world is only a truly safe world is a world where it's safe to be different.
Mm.
And that is just something that is really stuck with me for all of these years. And what it means to me is that we're all so wildly, wonderfully, beautifully different. And how boring would it be if we were all the same? And when we can celebrate these differences and make space for differences, then it's so welcoming and safe. And I think if we could all create a little bit more room for difference, then everybody would be having a much different experience of the world.
Too true.
Yeah. And another one, I was gifted a card, a handmade card at an astrology circle 1,000 years ago. And it was... Now it's leaving my brain, let it come back in. When I'm living the best life I can live, I inspire others to do the same. So it's not about me trying to fix anybody or change anybody and to make their life better. All I have to do is live my best life.
Mm.
And the people I'm connected with, the people that are around me will be inspired to do that for themselves in their expression and version of that. Mm.
So true, isn't it? I can think of a sprinkling of people, a handful of people who I observe doing that, and it does give you that evidence that it's possible, right, for yourself.
Mm. Yeah.
So true. Yeah. Shannon, you're one of them, just saying. But it's so true, you know. I love that. I love that saying. Thanks so much for bringing that up. They're like potent words.
Mm. Thank you. Mm. I love it.
Truly.
And thank you, Laura. I feel the same about you. We just got a little love fest. God.
I too have a muggle job and this whole other life, so it's interesting, you know. It doesn't always feel great, but then some of it is bloody awesome, I'm not going to lie. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am looking forward to this next question, Alyssa. It's one of my favourite because on the podcast we have a divine tool of the week each episode to share with our listeners. And because I throw over to you, it means I don't have to do it. So I would love to ask you if there is anything in particular that you love working with in ritual that you'd love to share with our listeners.
Yeah, my personal favourite physical tool candles.
Mm.
They're just something that I feel like are a great entry level for me. When I first started out, a pack of 100 tea lights from IKEA for bucks or whatever they were, like that's it. It's just easier and a great starting point. And it's where I'm at now is because I just love candles so much. I almost exclusively now use ethically sourced beeswax candles because it just gives me so much more joy to use that particular style of candle. And I think that speaks into our evolution as witches or people of ritual, that things will change with time as well. And you don't need to run out there and buy the, you know, expensive pillar beeswax candles. Go to IKEA and grab 100. Make it easy. Mm-hmm. Use the old birthday candles that are sit on top of a fridge somewhere. You know,
I love a birthday candle. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, candles would be my personal number one. I'll travel with them. I light them everywhere, even when you're not meant to. that's why I love a beeswax candle, because they don't have, they won't smoke when you put them out.
Mm. Yeah. I'm glad to hear you travel with candles, because I do too, and my husband thinks I'm crazy, but I take them everywhere.
Well, for me, they're just, it's a really low-hanging fruit, easy anchor tool that, you know, just brings the focus, creates a container.
It does. Love it.
It's so simple.
Yeah.
It's such a ritualistic tool as well. It's perfect, truly. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Every ritual you can infuse a candle in there somewhere.
Absolutely.
My rituals where I'm driving my car, maybe not.
Fair point.
Everywhere else.
Pick up. Let this be a warning.
Now, Alyssa, do you have anything brewing you would like to share with our podcast coven, and how can everyone find you and your incredible work?
Yeah, again, through the website, social handles are the same as well, theritualwoman.au. I'm just putting the final touches on another little freebie that helps to connect with your intuitive and innate yes and no in your body as a felt sense and feeling. So that is available through on the website as well. And yeah, another little like freebie. Just love the freebies.
Yeah, that's so great.
That sounds good. And as I mentioned before, and to our beautiful listeners, they well and truly know by now to scroll down to the show notes attached to this episode, and you'll be able to tap on the links so you can see where to connect with Alyssa, and the Ritual Woman's handles will all be there. Thank you so much for being so generous with your time and your knowledge and all those questions we had firing at you. It's been such a delightful chat.
It's been amazing for me too, and I absolutely love this space and your podcast and what you're putting out there and the resources, and I think you're doing beautiful, beautiful work, and I'd love to be part of more of it.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. We would love to chat with you more too.
Yeah, definitely. So many more rabbit holes we could go down, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Totally,
especially when it comes to the different modalities that you've trained in and whatnot. I think we've got some episodes there that we can delve into in future.
For sure. Well, thank you so much, Alyssa, and thank you to our beautiful podcast coven. We will be back with you next week.